DDC 1025 1063, The Game, coming up on Stillman & Company. Caroline Fenton, Michelle Knezovic live at SEC Media Days. They're going to talk to Vols quarterback Hendon Hooker and receiver Cedric Tillman. Also, the commissioner Greg Sankey scheduled to join them as well. And new Titans cornerback Roger McCreary, who is at SEC Media Days. So that's what's on tap for them. We say hello to Mitch Light of The Athletic, who joins us now. Mitch, how we doing?
Chase, I'm doing well. And here's something a little off topic if you want to, so whoever's interviewing Roger McCreary, I looked up this, I spend way too much time on stupid things in college football, and I work with our University of Washington writer, and sorry for hijacking this conversation.
Oh, you're good.
They have an offensive lineman named Roger Rosengarten, and I'm thinking, how many people under the age of 60 are named Roger in this world? Not that many. I looked at every FBS roster in the country last year, and this guy's the only Roger in college, in division or FBS college football. And I tried to get my Washington writer to write a story about it. And he never did. So maybe I'm the only one who thinks that's interesting. So that's my Roger comment for the
day.
Okay.
Yep. I like it.
Of course, Roger Saffold is no longer with the Titans.
Well, yeah. So. Well, I was born in Dallas before I moved to New Jersey and was a Roger Staubach fan, and I waited in line for 3 hours at a mall once to get Roger Staubach's autograph. So I don't know, maybe Roger, I'll just always attach to the name Roger.
So we heard from the Vols today, Josh Heupel speaking, but Hendon Hooker, somebody we've been talking about throughout the show. I looked up his odds. Some books have him at 40-1, some have him at 45-1. To win the Heisman Trophy. We saw what he did last year for Tennessee. When you look at the quarterbacks in the SEC right now, where does Hendon Hooker rank for you?
Well, that's a good question about as far as rank. I'd have to think about it. Like, I think, put it this way, I don't think Josh Heupel trades Hendon Hooker for anybody in the league. Whether or not you think he's the best quarterback, first-team quarterback or not, like, I think he is ideal for what they want to do. I mean, like Bryce Young, obviously, if you're going to say who's the best, it's probably Bryce Young. But, I mean, Hooker, I thought he was good at Virginia Tech, which when I watched them a couple years ago, and I thought he was good last year. And when you're talking about potentially playing your way in the Heisman race, like, he has some wild plays. And that's, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, that's what you need if you're going to come from the pack to win the Heisman. You need some big moments on a big stage, like, you know, making three guys miss and throwing the ball 60 yards down the field or whatever. So, like, I think he's great for that offense. He's fun to watch. So, I, you know, Heisman or no Heisman, first team All-SEC, Tennessee has the quarterback that it needs to win this year, in my opinion.
10 years, $112.5 million extension for Kirby Smart, and everybody's all worried about NIL and all the money that the players are getting. What'd you think about that move?
Well, I think it makes sense if, you know, what's the goal of the sport? To win a national championship. Uh-huh. He won a national championship. At Derek's alma mater, they're paying a coach a lot of money who we think could possibly be a pretty good coach. And James Franklin's making a ton of money because someone in the same division is making a lot of money. And then Lincoln Riley, you know, private school USC, we don't know exactly what he's making, but we think it's in that range. And Brian Kelly. So basically, it was just what took so long for Georgia? So, I mean, if anyone deserves it, it's the coach who just won a national championship. And, you know, that's a whole other discussion versus the NIL and all that. But the money's there at some of these schools. And this guy, you know, Kirby Smart he's taken Georgia from a level of pretty good program, a very good program that we think should be a little better. And now they're at the pinnacle of the sport right now. So good for him.
Now, Mitch, do you think they will ever get their arms around this whole NIL deal situation? Or do you think that maybe they can kind of, you know, rein it in a little bit when they go to these, you know, two or three super conferences?
That is the question that's on everyone's mind. Like, in theory, like, I think everyone, you know, wants to rein it in. I don't know if that's the right term I would use, but, you know, like, how are you going to – that's my next one. Like, how are you going to – legally, how are you going to cap what these players are allowed to be paid? My opinion is that the current players, that's great. Like, I use Hendon Hooker as the example. Like, he should make a ton of money for NIL because he's been great for Tennessee. He is a like, if you're comparing that to what an incoming player is making, Hendon Hooker should be making more. And slight tangent again here. I don't know if you guys saw what Joey McGuire said, the Texas Tech coach. There's a story at The Athletic by Sam Kahn. It was at a convention with all the coaches in Texas. And this is like sort of like maybe pie in the sky thinking. And Texas Tech just signed their NIL collective. Every player, including walk-ons, like 100 players, are going to get $25,000 a year at Texas Tech, basically almost like a salary, whatever you want to call it. And Joey McGuire said, no incoming player who hasn't worn, I think the quote was, the red and black of Texas Tech is going to be making more than a current player. I'm into culture and locker room and all that. You know, that sounds great. Maybe with the type of players that Texas Tech is recruiting, that's fine. But try doing that if you're, you know, Alabama, Georgia, some of these schools that are signing these five-star players. So I guess my long-winded answer, Derek, is saying I think it would be good for the sport if they could somehow have some guardrails, but legally I don't see how it's going to happen.
Now, in the East, because I guess this is the question moving forward, besides Georgia, who is that number two team? Is it Kentucky? Is it UT? Or is it someone that will supersede both UT and Kentucky?
I think I put Florida as the wild card there. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson, the quarterback, is, you know, Florida fans loved him last year when he wasn't playing, and then, you know, he was the famous backup quarterback. You know, everyone loves the backup, but he's a really talented kid. I think Billy Napier is a very good coach. They still have talent on that roster. They've got, you know, pretty good defensive line, I'd say. The thing about Florida, you look at them, it's like, where's all the skill talent? We're so used to seeing that at Florida, and they just haven't had the consistent skill talent. Right now, I would probably go Tennessee to four. You know, I think they're all going to finish in that 5-3, 4-4 range, but I'd probably say Tennessee 2, 4-3, Kentucky 4. But obviously, nothing would surprise me. I think those three teams are probably pretty even.
Talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic and talking college football here. Mitch, I got two on Vanderbilt for you, short-term, long-term. Let's talk about the immediate future here. I think you said a few weeks ago, you know, Vanderbilt could be way better than they were last year, but still have the same record in the league. You know, it's tough to break through in this league. How do you look? Would you still stand by that at this point? How much better do you think they are this year than last year?
Yeah, I still stand by that. I mean, I think the gap was pretty big last year between Vanderbilt and the rest of the league. Now, saying that, they go to Columbia, South Carolina, and pretty much, I think, the first few minutes, South Carolina went up and down the field, but for the next 40-whatever minutes, Vanderbilt controlled that game until the final 2 minutes when South Carolina, scored late there. But in big picture, I think the gap is between Vanderbilt and the rest of the league has been, historically as big as it's ever been. I don't want to say that, but clearly this team could be a lot better and still go 0-8 in the league. So I think Clark Lee is the perfect coach, is the perfect mentality for this. You know, he talked about the 10-year plan. It sounds like a cliche or catchword, but it's true. I mean, he just want to see this team get better. You want to see them identify, the quarterback going forward, whether it's Mike Wright who seizes the job, and, yeah, he's the quarterback for the 2023 team. I'll put it this way. I think even though they really like A.J. Swan, the four-star quarterback coming in, I think whoever starts the last six games this year, you really want to be the starter in 2023 for Vanderbilt. Like, you need some continuity at the position there.
You're saying that could be Swan, you're saying?
Okay. I'd be a little surprised because he's a true freshman, but he is a very talented kid. I just think you don't – and I applaud Clark Lee for kind of going against the grain and naming Mike Wright a starter when you see most coaches who, you know, don't do that this early in camp. But you don't want at this point – being at this point next year debating who the starting quarterback is. I think it really helps the team to be able to identify that. So they've got their model, they've got their plan, the type of kids they're recruiting. But, you know, it's just the talent gap is there right now, so they've got to overachieve and hope they find some, you know, quote-unquote diamonds in the rough out there. But it's going to be tough sledding this year, but I think they've got the right staff, the right mentality right now. They know what they're up against.
We've talked about this before. I said yesterday to Derek and Chase that I've seen low. You came into school same year I did. I said, I've seen low Vanderbilt. I would have to say that when Clark Lee took over the roster, it's as low of a talent pool as I've seen. And that it's competing with Bobby Johnson's first season after Woody Woodenhofer left and maybe even some other coaches before. But it was low. It's going to take some time. So what did you make of his bold statement that, hey, I want this to be the best program in the country. How did you interpret that? Because I think he knew he was going to get some attention, good and bad there.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard him say that, maybe not that specifically or that directly, but I've heard him say similar things about it. And, yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's going to get – there's a lot of cynical people out there. That's fine. It's a bold statement. Like, do we think it's going to be true? No, I don't think it's ever going to be true. But I don't. Doesn't matter what I think. It's what he thinks and what the players think. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he – is very confident in his plan. And, you know, going back to your original point, yeah, it's I think I said this on your show, and I looked it up at one point. And, you know, when James Franklin took over, we all knew Bobby Johnson started recruiting a little bit better, had some good years there. There were 11 players on James Franklin's first team that were upperclassmen that ended up playing in the NFL. And I always say this, give credit for that staff for developing, for winning games. But there's clearly talent when he took over. I mean, look at the team, that Vanderbilt team last year. How many of those guys are going to play in the NFL? I don't know. Chris Pierce is in a camp. Maybe he will. They've got some young receivers who are pretty good, but maybe one or two guys will play in the NFL on that roster. So, I mean, that kind of tells you the talent right now, and the league's probably better now than it is than it was then. And so, you know, another cliche. It is what it is, and he knew what he was getting into, and it's going to be a long battle.
He is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
Does a great job for The Athletic. Coming up next, we will reset the big stories of the day, get Willie's thoughts on some things that we haven't talked to him about just yet as you listen to the DDC 102.5, 106.3, The Game.